Good evening and welcome to our evening service, whether you're here in the church, over in the hall, or whether you're watching online. We're just so pleased that you have joined us this evening. We have our church prayer meeting on Tuesday at 7:30. Again, you don't need to book for that, just come along and pray for the work of the church here. Wednesday at 7:30, the Ladies Fellowship have their meeting, and the title is Just Desserts, and it's open to all ladies in the church, so do come along. This would be a good opportunity for you to come along and meet with the other ladies, and they're having a special program and Just Desserts as well. Thursday, 7:30, we have our quarterly church business meeting for members. And I have agendas for those of you who want one, or if you're not here, email me and I'll send you one out. Now, this Saturday is the senior centers. Oh, the senior citizens dinners. I've got to be careful here. And as last year, we're not having a sit-down meal, but we are delivering the dinners out. And if you have booked a meal, then it will come to your house between 2:30 and 5:00 on Saturday afternoon. Next Sunday, we have the services at the normal times of 11 in the morning and 6 in the evening. You do need to book in for those if you want to sit on the more socially distant side. If not, just come along and sit on this side of the church. You don't need to book for that. The pastor will be speaking and we will have communion in the morning service. Also, next Sunday is our 10th Sunday, which means that the entire offering which comes in on that day and through that week, if anyone gives money through the week, it goes to a particular project, and this time it's going to our own folk. So we support them and thank you on their behalf. So that's next Sunday is the 10th Sunday offering. Also, last week we had a retiring offering for our speaker last week, Glenn Charlton from CPC in Brazil. That offering was £935, and that has been sent off to Glenn for the work in Brazil.
Thank you very much, Billy. I should add that retiring offering is on top of the free will offering, which is so generous, and I'm sure Glenn and the folk in the work there in Brazil greatly appreciate it. So thank you so much for your generous giving. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray as we seek the Lord together. Father, we are so glad to be in the house of God and to be singing the praises of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. We're so glad, Lord, to be here and to lift up our hearts in thanksgiving to God. Thank you, Lord, for your promises to us, Lord, which we so often take them for granted, and yet, Lord, they're so real that God is here. And that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. We thank you, Lord, for that promise which says, where two or three are gathered in my name, then there am I in the midst of them. Lord, nobody knows our hearts like you. Nobody knows what's going through our lives like you do. You know more than we even know ourselves. And so we thank you, Lord, that you always speak into our experience where we're at and what we're going through. You know exactly, Lord, how we feel. You know exactly what's going through our minds. You know the challenges and the struggles. You know the difficulties and the problems. You know the faults and the failures. Lord, and yet you love us. And yet, Lord, you want to bring us from where we are to where you want us to be. We're so thankful, Lord. We dare not take these blessings for granted. We pray, dear God, that you'll give us a heart receptive to the moving and the speaking and the directing of the Spirit of God. Again, Lord, we pray that you remember those at home in sickness, those who have lost loved ones, the McCrudden family, those who have suffered injury, Lord, those who have suffered injury of heart, perhaps. Lord, we just lift them all up before you. Lord, I know there are people not here tonight who would just love to be here. Their heart is here, but their bodies aren't. Lord, forgive anyone that's here in body but doesn't want to be here. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to take full advantage of all the blessings that God has for us tonight. Open to us, Lord, the page. Graciously come with your Holy Spirit and give us that sense of breaking in and breaking through in your word, we pray. And for those over in the hall, Father, we wouldn't forget them. May they sense God in a great measure. Those at home, Father, we ask, Lord, that they may truly know you visiting their home. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake alone. Amen. We are going to turn to God's word for this evening. And if you want a title, it's Sure Truths for Unsure Times. Sure Truths for Unsure Times. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll read from verse 1 to 6 and then a few other verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and reading from verse 1. While you're looking that up, can I remind you that please try and book in really good time. I think it leaves Andrew's job a wee bit easier. And I know that it is. If you're coming and you want booked for socially distanced, please don't forget to do that. Sometimes we can forget that. Make it a priority when you're waking up tomorrow morning. I'm going to text Andrew, all right? And I'm sure he'll greatly appreciate it. Another thing that I want to say to you is, in these evening meetings, I'm trying to do two things. Number one is I want to encourage the body of Christ. That's what I've sought to do. I believe it's what the Lord wants to do, is to encourage us in these dark and difficult days, to give us something to hold on to help us through those difficulties. And let's face it, if you listen to the news and they're talking about cancelling Christmas, that's not good news, is it? And so what I believe the Lord wants us to do is to encourage, but also to challenge. Because in these difficult days, some people are throwing in the towel. And it is becoming more and more obvious as I speak to more and more church leaders. More and more difficult to encourage and inspire. And attendance is dropping away as well. That's a concern for any pastor and any church leader, or it ought to be, or for any church member. And so what I believe the Lord will have us do is to try and encourage you, but also challenge you. So that's my dual purpose in these evening meetings. And until the Lord changes my direction, you're going to have to put up with it. So these are messages, I believe, from the heart of the Lord. And I believe they're for your heart. Today he wants to give you sure truths, or certain truths for uncertain days. Steady truths for unsteady days. Take whatever title you like. So let's read together from 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people have no fellowship. Turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Then to verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And here's where our text is coming from. But you must continue. You must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Amen, and we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. In those first six verses that we read, you would think we are reading about our present day, wouldn't you? You would think we are reading about the very day in which we are living. It is a description of the moral, political, economical, social, and religious, and spiritual of the day in which we live. It couldn't have been any more up to date. It could easily be the front page of the whatever newspaper that you are inclined to read from. Well, Paul says to Timothy, son. And that's what Paul does with Timothy. He says, I charge you. I remember Dr. Peckham setting us as students a little exercise in 1st and 2nd Timothy. And he says, see how many times Paul charges Timothy to be. In other words, Timothy, you're going to go out into difficult, dark and perilous days. And in the midst of all of that, I charge you to hold on and to continue in the work that God has called you to. And in a sense, he's really saying to Timothy, it's not a time to turn tail and run. When the going gets tough, it's time for you to get tough too and stick in where you're needed. So the message that Paul is speaking to us through Timothy is, the message is keep going, but keep going in the things that you have learned. It is not what we don't know, folks, that will get us through the pandemic or the difficult days of today. And there are many other things happening. Sometimes I think there's a lot more happening under the cloak of the pandemic than with the pandemic. We're all distracted with the pandemic. Politics are changing. Morality's changing. The social scene's changing. And sometimes I think we can get blinded by the obvious because we're concerned for our health. And the Bible does say that the enemy is active. And I believe oftentimes there is what we call bad news day. Have you ever heard that? A good day to release bad news. Well, sometimes I think that in a time like this, we are so distracted, we are so, obscured from what really is going on. But I believe behind it all, the enemy, and we're leading up to the last days, perilous times shall come. Why are we surprised? Why are we surprised? When we see all that's happening, after all, the Bible has said it. But Paul tells Timothy, you just keep going. Keep steady, keep strong in the things that you already know and in the things that you have already learned, remembering who you have learned them from. And so throughout this little epistle of Paul to Timothy, we have some steadfast truths. I had to get these new teeth. We have these steadfast truths for unsteady times, and I'm going to bring out a few of them to you. I mean, we're using terms today that we never ever thought. I'm not going to go over the pandemic. I'm sick talking about it. But what about the political unrest that's all around us? The protocol. Who ever thought that we'd be watching and looking at buses being burned in Newton Ards and in Rathcoole? Who ever thought we'd ever hear words being said like, we'll do whatever it takes? That scares me. Whatever it takes. Who ever thought that we would see people lying in the middle of the motorways of England and as they're protesting for insulate Britain. Well, if you want your house insulated, go and insulate it. That's what I say. Who ever thought that we would be in such throes of the aggressive gender program, where we're being sold everything, and the minority is beginning to rule the majority? It makes me sick, I have to be honest and tell you, when I hear these things being shoved down my throat And yet, if I preach the truth of God's word, I guarantee tomorrow morning I would get somebody from one of the local newspapers and say, did you say this? And did you say that? Everybody can say anything they like but the Christian. That's the day we're in. So what's God saying to me as a preacher? Keep going in the things that you've learned and remember who you learned them from. What's God saying to you? Dear child of God, keep going in the things that you have learned and remember who you learned them from. So I want to go to four things, four truths. I hope gladdens your heart. I hope excites your heart. And hope inspires your heart to stick in there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 is the first one. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12 is the first one. I think it is anyway. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. I can't even listen to myself. All right, here it is. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Here's your first truth. You ready for it? Our salvation is permanent. Our salvation is permanent. Paul did not say, I suppose, I hope, I feel, I reckon, I wonder. Paul had his feet firmly on the rock, Christ Jesus, and his life in the hands of the Almighty, and he knew whom he had believed, and he knew that he was saved and on the way to heaven and home. Sammy Workman used to say, if you weren't saved, you couldn't stick it. You ever hear him saying that? If you weren't saved, you couldn't stick it. And we might be forced to lockdowns. We might lose our freedom and the ability to meet with our families. The pandemic might inflict many things upon us. But I want to tell you, nothing that's going on politically, nothing that's going on medically, nothing that's going on socially, nothing that's going on morally, and even nothing that's going on in your life and mine ought to drive us away from our faith and salvation in Christ, because it can't steal the fact that I'm saved and I know it. I'm tired of hearing of one excuse after another as to why we cannot meet, why we're absent from the body of Christ. Now, I'm not being smug when I say this, and every time I say this, I know that let him who standeth take heed lest he fall. But if you're easily driven away from your walk with God, then you don't have what I have. And I'm not smoking, I'm saying that. That's why I wanted to sing that song, I Love You, Lord. He won my heart. I said at the beginning of this pandemic that it would be a time of sifting, of sorting out the men from the boys, the wheat from the chaff, the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats. And I trust that we will prove the fact that we are the people of God. Paul wasn't going through our day, but if Paul was going through our day, the same as us, though it might have affected his friends and family and future and changed every area of his life, he says, I still know whom I have believed. Let me give you a wee bit of a testimony here to balance up what I'm saying. The day that I met Jesus, a day when my heart was won over to him, my life was transformed. Something began to beat in here that only the gospel of Jesus Christ can explain. My will was knit with his will. My sins were forgiven. My hard heart, bad temper, arrogant, selfish, self-centered, smoked life had an encounter with Jesus. I saw him by faith. I have seen the face of Jesus, and my soul was satisfied. I heard his gentle yet commanding voice. I felt his awesome almighty power in my life. And boy, I cannot mistake it. What happened then had an eternal effect on my life. And nothing and no one in this world is going to snatch me out of his hand. But let me rattle that up. Come over with me to John chapter 10. Come over with me to John and chapter 10. See what the Lord Jesus says in the verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 of John 10 says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Verse 27, and it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Let me tell you, there's a person in my life, and he's not for shifting. I hear him, I know him, I believe him, I follow him, I worship him. I'm in love with Jesus. Where he leads, I'm going. What he says, I'm for doing. What he wants from me, I'm forgetting it. And folks, if he says, come out from among them, then I'll be for doing it. If he says, come on to me, I'm first in the queue. When I hear, follow me, I'm on his heels. When he says, trust in me, I'm going to step out. Do you know what this is? Why this is? Because my salvation is in a person called Jesus Christ. Called Jesus Christ. If you have been separated from him, you have not been following him. If you have been separated from him, you have not been listening to him. If you've been divided from him, it's because you have not been in love with him. I want no other life without him. I have no other life without him. If you've been separated from him, those of you who may be listening to a recording or at home or whatever, if you've been separated from him, what have you got that's better than what you had in Christ? Did you have Christ? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My salvation is sure. Quickly, because time will run out. I have no doubt about it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Paul tells his young apprentice to be strong. Timothy, you're going to meet dangerous and unprecedented times, but be strong. You will live in serve in a world where wickedness will abound on every hand, but be strong. You will live in the midst of a society where sin and apostasy is the norm of the day, but be strong. You will live in a world that seems to have gone crazy, where it seems everybody's serving the devil, and whilst you want to serve God, but be strong. Folks, it's not a time to be weak. It's a time to be strong. It's not a time to throw in the towel. It's a time to take up our banner and march to the drumbeat of heaven. It's a time to get into the study of God's word. It's not a time to let up, let down, set down, fold up, close up, or wind up. It's a time to charge up and get going. Whenever we were youngsters, we didn't want to go to bed. Anybody feel like that? And then when morning came, we didn't want to get up. Is anybody like that? All the same. You see that, Rebecca? You like that? Your mom must have a hard time here. So, please don't try this at home. See, you won't. "We'll go to bed when we get the light out, Ma." Little did she know that we had a wee pellet gun up in the house. A wee pellet rifle. And if we could get that light, get that switch out with the pellet gun, then we put our heads down and go to bed, because we couldn't see you get the light on again. I mean, the wall was, you've no idea how mad we were. And then I remember many some mornings she came up, "It's not time to go to bed yet, Ma. It's way past your bedtime." "Why, what time is it?" "It's 1:30 in the morning." Folks, the time is coming when the night is coming when no man can work. But it's not here yet. It's not here yet. And in the meantime, he wants us to take up our boxing gloves. He wants us to take up our banner. He wants us to take up our fistful of tracts. He wants us to take up our testimony and reach the lost. Now, Timothy, I can hear him say back to Paul, "But how do you expect me to do that in these dark and difficult days?" Well, Paul tells him, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, "In the strength and in the grace of Jesus Christ." Folks, we may be strong, we may be courageous in the face of all that is against the church, in the strength of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did anybody ever meet Ivan Thompson? Did you ever hear Ivan Thompson? Boy, I tell you, he could do it, couldn't he? Ivan Thompson stayed with me and Esther down in Bandon for a weekend. Boy, we're still surviving. He told it as it was. I remember he was counselling somebody. Ivan had a rough old tongue on him. But I remember he was counselling somebody and they were saying to him, "I'm afraid of dying and I'm a believer." Ah, he says, "God will give you dying grace when you're dying." That's just how he said it. Let me tell you, my dear friends, there is grace sufficient for every issue and every item and every situation in which we find ourselves. "Be strengthened by the grace," says Paul, "that is in Christ Jesus." God's grace, folks, will see us through. Do you know what? I've got a song on, and I said to myself, I wonder, will I try and play that tonight? I'm not going to, but I'd love to play it. It's by Darlene Zichek. Have you ever heard of her? She sings "Amazing Grace." I have never heard anyone sing. I know you're all home now to Spotify and YouTube. I know what you're like. I have never listened to anybody singing "Amazing Grace" that has impacted my heart like that woman. Through many dangers, just hardly any music in the background. And her voice is so crisp and clear that the verse, "Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come." What's the rest of it, Brian? "'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." How do you give testimony to the grace of God? By standing strong in his strength, by staying strong against the tide of evil, by keeping ourselves pure in an impure world. But dear folks, never ever think it's in our own strength. I love the song, stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. John Newton's amazing song, "Amazing Grace," "Through many dangers, toils and snares." Many of us are long in the tooth, aren't we? Well, no more of you are anyway, if you have any teeth left. Old geezers, we've seen a thing or two, haven't we? Some of you have seen war. Some of you have seen the First World War, haven't you? No. We've seen war. We've seen want. We've seen wear and tear. We've seen weariness. We've seen wickedness. Some have even seen Hitler's bombers. Some have felt hunger pangs. Others have been in the hands of evil and wicked men. I was in seeing somebody in hospital last night who were able to tell us of the time they were flying through the air at the hands of a paramilitary's bomb going off. Still alive today. You ask any one of them what got you through. God's amazing grace. I'm here to tell you, 'tis grace hath brought us safe thus far, and it will be grace will bring us home. Do you believe that tonight? There's some of you facing cancer. I was up seeing Adrian. Adrian has not got good news. I went up to pray with him. I've been with him a couple of weeks before, and I said, Adrian, God's amazing grace. By the way, let me tell you this. There's two sides of this. Either we get through this or we get to glory. Isn't that right? Isn't that true? No matter what the believer's facing, we either get through this or we get to glory. I was talking to Sadie McCrudden's family this afternoon. We're about arranging the funeral, the Thanksgiving service. And I said, you know, wasn't it amazing to think that Sadie was laying in a bed there last week. I was chatting to her, and now she's springing around in glory, singing the praise of him who loved her. And he says, I don't think she'd choose to come back here again. God gives us saving grace, sustaining grace, overcoming grace, sufficient grace, serving grace, dying grace, sweet grace, grace sufficient for our days. Paul says, his grace is sufficient for thee. Listen, who better to talk to than Paul, who'd been beaten within an inch of death, who'd been falsely imprisoned and also had a thorn in his flesh. And he says, it's grace has got me through, and it's grace that will get me through, and it's grace that will get us through. Oh, folks, we have some special strength, haven't we? Here's the third thing. 2 Timothy 3:16. I love this. I could preach that sermon in the Holy Spirit all over again. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. This is the third truth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, whenever everything else all around us is changing, God's word will never change. I can take God's word and I can ask it, I can depend on it, I can rely on it to guide my life, to instruct my life, and know that God's word is never going to change. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. We have to change to respond to changing nature in the medical scene. We have to respond to the changing political landscape. We have to respond to the changing economic situation. Interest rates. Boy, they're going to go up sky high if the prices of things still... I'm scared to think of what's going to happen in the next few years. When we're paying now almost twice as much for petrol or diesel than we were at the beginning of the pandemic. I went into Tesco's and I had a few things in my hands yesterday. And I tell you what, I had £60 worth and it would hardly keep you a day. If you ate like me, of course. Everything's changing, isn't it? It's changing. Isn't it good to know that we have a sure word, a steady word? But I want you to look at verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. From a childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. You notice what Paul said here? From a child. Folks, do you know one of the most grievous things that's happening in church today? Let me put that another way. One of the most grievous things that's happening in Christianity today is we're not instructing our children at home. From your mother and your grandmother. We're relying on Sunday schools. We get cross when people say about our schools are teaching too much religion. Why would we entrust schools? Not that I've anything against schools, Val. Not, I have nothing against school. But why would I entrust my children to somebody else? Now, I have to sometimes. Why are we not teaching our children? Why do we not? You know, it's lovely to see at least two families bringing their children to this church every Sunday evening. That encourages me. Would to God we had as many children in our evening service as we had in our morning service. Because how on earth do we think that our children are going to learn the things of God? But are we going to tell the schools? Are we going to walk outside the schools with the placards? Please teach our children about God. The big culture shock for Esther and I was whenever we went over to I know I'm away digressing here, but you've nothing else to do tonight. Whenever we went over to Edinburgh, we took our wee boys down to Gilmerton Primary School. That was a culture shock. Our children had never been taught anything but the Christian curriculum in school. Now they're going to be confronted with Islam, Buddhism and everything else, because that's religious education. It is a crime. It's a crime that we're not teaching our children about God in our home. You young married people, and those of you who hope to get married soon, you set up place in your house where you're going to teach your children about God. Listen, I thank God for Sunday school teachers. I thank God for our stepping school, school teachers. I thank God for our girls' brigade captains and officers. I thank God for everybody who's involved. And I thank God for spirit-filled teachers. And I want to tell you, the world and the church owes a great debt of gratitude to everybody who has been involved. But why should we leave it all to them? Why are we not doing it? I want to tell you, whenever we were over in Cork, whenever we were down in Bandon, our camps used to be packed out and people on a waiting list. And I can remember seeing the whole, we used to bring them to the beach and see the beach filled with children. And I remember one day sitting, I think it was Ona Hincha, you don't know where that is, but it's Ona Hincha down in West Cork, next to Bantry, not far from Bantry. Not far from Skibbereen, by the way. Not far from Skibbereen. And I can remember as I saw the beach filled with children, the work that we were doing, most of them were from another religion. And it was as the Lord said, you're the only link in their lives. And then I began to wonder, well, what impact are we having? We'd hear them profess. We'd maybe hear lots of them professing. But you're sending back to homes that maybe worshipped other deities. And remember the Lord saying to me, at least you're putting something in their hearts that the Spirit of God can use. Even though the sin and the devil and the world will want to wreck their lives, the Spirit of God can do something in their hearts. Because God's word is incorruptible, indefilable, inarguably the truth. We need to start teaching our children at home. Because God's word is profitable. Now, I know I came to encourage you. We can't make up for what we did in the past, but we can change how we do it today. And folks, it's not only about children. Now's not the time to stop giving out tracts. Now's not the time to stop knocking doors. now's the time to start and be a wee bit more aggressive. I mean that in the rightest sense, about evangelizing. The light hasn't gone out yet, but it won't be long. And here's the fourth thing. The Saviour's return is promised. Look at 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Can I say to you, it pays to serve Jesus. They may count some of us have our holidays all worked out for next year, haven't we? I have. Have you? Oh, you're not going to tell us anyway. They can cancel our holidays, they can cancel our hospital appointments, they can cancel our meals out and our concerts and our weddings and our life. Robin Swan can come out tomorrow morning and say, sorry, but because of changing circumstances, we've had to cancel all meeting together. They could. We will never ever hear of the Lord's return being cancelled. We'll be saying, oh, you haven't got a mask on. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Must sing that next Sunday. Let me tell you, these past months have been difficult, but it's only made heaven more appealing, hasn't it? Hasn't it? Maybe we got too comfortable down here, too settled. We dug our anchors down too deep. Maybe we got too careless, too much mixed up with the things of this world. Well, I believe that if there's one thing that has happened, is his return has become more appealing to me. Oh, folks, let me tell you this, and I mean this with all of my heart. I have only a wee granddaughter, she's only 2 and a half. I'd love to see her growing up, and I'd love to see her walking up the aisle, and I'd love to be there. I could be going by that, but anyway, I'd love to be there. And we all have these things that we want to see done, haven't we? But I would not be one bit disappointed if through the clouds he came tonight and he took us home. Oh, I would be delighted. I would be delighted. We've all got loved ones out of Christ. But we could sing, and we do sing, I dare not leave them lost and alone. We want them over there. But I said a wee bit of last Sunday, why we should pray for his return. Because he tells us to. How much more do we want the Lord and our Saviour and our Almighty God to be offended and insulted by the slights and the sins of this world? How many more of God's people do we want to see martyred for their faith? I believe, and I am more and more convinced because of what we see going on, and preachers have been saying that for years, we're on the throes of his return, and it's time to get ready because the sifting is happening before our eyes. Jesus is coming. Some people tell us that we only believe in the Lord's return because it makes us feel good in the midst of difficulty. I want to tell you, Jesus is coming, whether they try to excuse it, try to exclude it, whatever, he's coming. His word says it. It's sure. It's sure. So, we have a reason then to be faithful. We have a reason to be serving. We have a reason to be hopeful. We have a reason to be watchful and worshipping. I'm all packed up. I'm taking very little with me. I'm a packing up life down here. and I'm out of here as soon as he calls. Gathered with the saints, and we'll go marching to glory. Now, we have challenged your heart tonight, have we? Have we made your heart glad tonight? Well, may we be faithful, as Paul was encouraging his young preacher, Timothy. May we be watchful, may we be faithful, may we be careful. And let's take the challenge from his word and rise up in the ashes of despair and doom and gloom. Let's pray together, and then Daphne's going to join me for this last song. In times like these, let's pray together. We're so glad, Lord, that your word still is sure and still true. Still means a lot, Father, to us. And you do inspire us. You do encourage us. We pray, Father, that our lives will portray that readiness and that will to do what the Lord would ask. Bless your people, Lord. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not beaten. We're not defeated. Minister to our hearts in these days, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.